With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Turn in your Bible with me, Philippians chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's begin in verse 6. Who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, or in the newest translation says something to be used to his own advantage, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen. Therefore, God exalted him, verse 9 again, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Let's go to John chapter 17. So we've been talking about the glory that God has given us in Christ Jesus. We're going to go into that just a little bit. Praise the Lord. John chapter 17, and we're going to begin in verse 1. After this, Jesus looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, so the Son may glorify you. You have granted him authority over all the people, so that he might give eternal life to all of those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Remember, always let the Bible give you the definitions of the Bible, if at all possible. What is eternal life? It's not a length of time. It's not living forever, because if you're going to hell, you're going to go to hell and be there forever. I mean, you'll come up, you know, for the day of judgment, but you're going right back down. So it's not a length of time. It's a quality of life. It's a state of being. And Jesus said, this is eternal life, to know. And that word know has a strong connotation of experience. It has the inference of not just to have a knowledge of, but to have an experience with. And it's an ongoing experience, to know God the Father and to know Jesus, whom he sent. To experience them on a daily basis, okay? So this is eternal life, that they may know the one and only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. I have brought you the glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. How did Jesus bring God glory? Just out of what you've just read? By doing the work God had assigned for him. How do we bring God glory? By doing the work that he's assigned us to do. And remember, he's prepared good works for us to do. He did that in advance. So, you know, we've known for years. If you've been in Christ for years, you've known for years what you're supposed to be doing. That's how you bring him glory. I remember when I was, praise the Lord. I remember when I was leaving my first attempt into ministry in my early 20s. And I swallowed a lie. And I began to say it myself. And I began to tell other people about it, who I served on the board of a church at that time, and I was helping in youth, and I was helping in children's ministry and preaching a little bit. And I began to swallow, because I got a job, and I was doing good, and I was making three times the amount of money my dad was making at the time, you know. And so I literally swallowed a lie, and I said, I'm going to become a checkbook for Jesus. I'm going to make a whole lot of money to help the pastor. You know, we got the pastor out from having to work a job and, And I really pushed in that to be able to pay him, to be on full time and give him a benefit package. Did that in my early 20s. And I said, we did this for the Lord, praise God. Now I'm going to become a checkbook for him. Oh my goodness, like he needed money. What I was destined to do was to preach and to teach and to edify and encourage and win souls. And instead, I swallowed a lie. And that didn't bring God any glory. And eventually, I got off track. Had to come back to the Lord in ministry. So if God's called you to do something, please understand that, you know, let Jesus define how you're going to give God glory. And that's by doing the work that he prepared in advance for you to do. Jesus said, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you have given me out of this world. They are yours. You gave them to me, and they obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words that you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Jesus said, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. I like that. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name. Protect them. Jesus is your protector. By the power of your name. The name that you gave me. Everybody say the name you gave me. So that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name that you gave me. Well, what name did he give him? Jesus. The angel told Joseph and Mary what they were to name him. That name, Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua in English, means deliverer. Come on. It means deliverer. It means the one who's going to deliver out of captivity. Jesus, the name that God gave Jesus, in that name is power. And we just read in Philippians was that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. Well, right now, if you invoke the name of Jesus, if Christ is in you and you're in Christ, and in Romans chapter 8 says if you've made Jesus your Lord, then Christ is in you. You don't have the spirit of the world anymore. Now you need to exercise the faith that you have in the name of Jesus. And what we're going to talk about tonight is the power that's in the name of Jesus. It must be there must be something more to it than what we've kind of mentally grasped, because Jesus said, I protected them not by my sonship, not by my faith, but I protected them. Now they're under the old covenant by the name that you gave me. So understand that the name of Jesus has authority in both covenants. In Philippians chapter 2, we just read about the established new covenant, that Jesus has been seated higher above every power, every authority, and every name. And at that name, every knee will bow. That's the new covenant. Under the old covenant, everything bowed as well. The new covenant wasn't brought or ratified until Jesus shed his blood, ascended to the heavenlies, cleansed the heavenly utensils of worship. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. You know, I recently was ministering on a Sunday, purposely provoking the gospel in us. And I said, if you go into your workplace and you won't use the name of Jesus, then you're not honoring God in the way that you should. And if you're talking about God as a little g, then there's no power in your testimony. We overcome him by the power of our testimony in the blood of the Lamb. Listen, the power of God is released and is held up, is invested in the name of Jesus. I don't know if you guys heard about what's happening in Nigeria. They kidnapped a bunch of Christian girls, but 3 weeks ago now. And it was a radical Muslim group that kidnapped them. And the speaker who was speaking for this Muslim, I mean, how could you go to the press after doing something like that? I think you'd, I mean, that's just asinine. Come right in your, like he said, just right in your face and say, this is what we did. And he said that what he said in his own language was Allah told him to sell the girls into slavery. Of course, in English now, what we did is we said, when we translate that, because we're so soft, we said that he said God told him to sell the girls. Well, Allah's not God. And see, we've got this thing where we have swallowed in our society and in our faith, when we say God, we think we're talking about the one that there's a million paths to, and there is no other name but the name of Jesus. Faith is in the name of Jesus. Now, you may be in the workplace, and you may have to be careful. You see, you can talk about Buddha, and you can talk about the Hindu faith. You could talk about Allah. You can talk about Muhammad, but you can't talk about the name of Jesus. Well, the Supreme Court just went through something recently. It was in the last 2 days, and they gave us back some liberty. There was a city council meetings that were taking place on the East Coast, and there was one lesbian who got very upset because every time they had a city council meeting, they prayed in the name of Jesus. And she took them all the way to the Supreme Court, and she lost. And they said that it wasn't a violation of our First Amendment rights to use the name of Jesus in a public meeting. That's a victory, man. I'm telling you what, the Christians have been running scared with their tail between their legs, not about their faith, but about the name of Jesus. We just won something. I mean, it was a 3-4 decision. There were three dissenters. And I bet you can guess what party they were put in place with. But there was four that said, no, no, this is the way it's going to be, that we can use the name of Jesus in a public prayer. Because I tell you what, without the name of Jesus, all you're doing is praying into the air. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me. When you pray, who are you trying to get a hold of? God. And you've got to go through Jesus. And you may say, well, he knows my heart. I'm sorry, a prayer is not a matter of your heart. Jesus said, when you pray, say. I don't know if he's even going to hear that. Well, isn't that anybody? Jesus, you know, cough it out. Jesus said, if you deny me in front of men, I will deny you in front of the Father. See, our faith has to be a public confession. I'm not embarrassed about Jesus, are you? I'm going to take a stand for Jesus. That's what we're not just here preaching about some generic deity who can be recognized by many different religions. We are preaching the Word of God and faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to verse 29. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet that knew what God had promised him on oath, that he would place one of his descendants on the throne, seeing what was ahead. He spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised, this is important, guys, God has raised this Jesus, everybody say Jesus, to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of the Father, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and poured out what you now see and hear. Verse 36, therefore let all Israel be assured, God has made this, say Jesus, Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. That's important. God has made this Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you how the devil has gotten into us religiously or in some kind of spirit or attitude of being politically correct. And how many of you know Pastor is not always politically correct? but my heart is right. My motives are right. My message is pure, okay? Jesus is the message. And through an attitude of being politically correct, we have taken the name of Jesus out of our vocabulary and we've inserted that generic, I call it small g, God. And we talk about everything God is doing in our lives. Praise the Lord. There's no power to cause people to be released or to come into liberty, to set the captive free, to be healed, to be delivered, but in the name of Jesus. And you know it yourself because you stammer sometimes and you may stutter sometimes when you're talking about God. And you walk away from a conversation where you've been trying to glorify God, but you don't mention the name of Jesus, and you feel as if a task is undone. That you started something, a process, and you didn't complete it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's the name of Jesus that brings that conversation from an idea and a philosophy and a motivational thing to the power of God. Come on. Everybody say Jesus. Here's the religious form of it. We don't talk about Jesus. We talk about Christ. Christ is not his name. Come on. Christ is not his name. I could take you, we could go sit in church after church, and they'll never mention the name of Jesus. If they're bold, they may mention Christ, but they won't mention the name of Jesus. And I'll take you to some other churches that are a little bit frozen and up here in the mental game, and they're talking about a God. So we're trying to make it raw tonight. We're trying to get down to where the power is actually released. It's not released by using Christ as a way to identify your Savior. Christ is the office that he stands in. He was made, this Jesus, everybody say this Jesus, was made Lord, the King of Kings part. He's the priest over priests now, because we are kings and priests. And the priestly part was Christ, the Messiah, the Messiah. He was made both Lord and Christ, made both Lord and Messiah. Now, he was anointed with the power and the Holy Ghost when he was on the earth, right? But he was made Christ at the time that he brought his blood into heaven, satisfied the eternal thing in judgment regarding our sin, turned the judgment seat into the bema seat of mercy with a drop of his own blood, transformed that place, satisfied judgment. And then God made him Lord and Christ. Was he Lord and Christ before? Yes. But he was perfected or made complete by his suffering on the earth, by his suffering in the pit of hell. The Bible said that he was made perfect in his suffering. And that doesn't mean that he wasn't without, that he didn't, that he was made clean, that he was made better, but he was made complete. They knew he was the Messiah when he was on the earth, but he didn't become the Messiah to them, the anointed one, everybody say anointed one, until the day of Pentecost, when he poured out his Spirit. So, who poured out his Spirit? The man, Jesus, who is seated at the throne of God, is the Son of God, and is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His priestly, his government, his governmental position, there's a government that God operates in. It's called the Kingdom of God. And Jesus is the head of that government. That is the King and the Lord. That's his office. But his ministry is Christ. His ministry is the Messiah. He is anointed, and through him the anointing flows through us. That's what he prays out in John chapter 17. I'm trying to think of an example of in a natural way where we describe somebody who is by what they do. A plumber. Now, the plumber's not his name. The plumber's what he does. Carpenter, a doctor. If you take your identity by only what you do, then you've lost your individuality. So you could be a plumber, but your name may be Joe. Jesus Christ, not his last name, Jesus the Anointed One. Acts 10:38, turn there, will you? Now, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And remember, now, he operated in the anointing when he was on the earth. He operated and exercised the name of Jesus, protected all his disciples by that. But what was released, what was behind the name of Jesus? Okay, Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. Now, anointing is to have something come upon you. Now, we have an anointing that abides within us. The difference between the old covenant and the new covenant for the believer, the one who's seeking after God, is this. The anointing could come upon those in the Old Testament, but you have an anointing that abides within. And there's still an anointing that can come upon. And boy, I like it when those two are working together. It's a wonderful place to be in the kingdom of God. Jesus became the deliverer from sin, but also the one who supplies the life of God to you. You have the mind of Christ, not the mind of Jesus. That means you have the thoughts of God. What's in the anointing is the Holy Ghost, is the Spirit of God, is the power of God, is the life of God. What's behind the name of Jesus? All heaven. Every angel, the armies of heaven, every angel that serves God is behind the name of Jesus. What's behind the name of Jesus? The power of God, the faith of God, the love of God, the Spirit of God. That's all behind it. That's all what is released in that name. Thank you, not taking the name of Jesus and bringing it down to a soulish level, but think of the name of Jesus as a trigger. The trigger is not what fires the gun. It's not what causes the gun to be lethal, but the trigger is what releases the power in that bullet, right? The name of Jesus is the trigger. The name of Jesus is the key. You've been given his name, the Word of God says. And his name is written on you. You're marked by his name. His name has power in every realm. His name has power in heaven, all power in heaven, all authority on the earth, and all authority under the earth. The name of Jesus is something that we should hold as holy and reverent, but also understand that it is now ours. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John go up to the gate called Beautiful, and they're getting ready to come in, and there's a beggar, and he looks at them seeking an alms, seeking a gift. And Peter looked in verse 3. Peter said, look straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Did you notice he didn't say, in the name of the Son of Jehovah? In the name of God Most High. He said, in the name of Jesus of Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped and began to walk. Then he went to them into the temple courts, walking and jumping, praising a God. Now, verse 11. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? And why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness We had made this man walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant who? Has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed and disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of, come on, Jesus, this man whom you see and know has been made strong. It is Jesus' name and by faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing, as you can all see. Okay. Peter looks at the man and he says, I'm not going to give you any money, but I'm going to give you what I have. And he released the power to heal him through the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, walk. Everybody say, in the name. In the name of Jesus, walk. In the name of Jesus, walk. Now, it wasn't done. This is what you call the working of miracles. He grabbed the man and he lifted him up. And it says, instantly, his ankles became strong. I've seen this overseas. I've seen this in the States where the power of God is present, but there's something that has to be released. And sometimes you have to work the miracle. And you realize the guy didn't jump to his feet, did he? He pulled him to his feet. Then his ankle bones became strong. So there's an accompanying action that had to follow the faith. But here's what I want you to see right here. Did he preach a sermon to him about Jesus? Did he? Are you sure? No, he didn't. Did he tell him that his faith was all wrong? No, he didn't. Did he tell him, hold on now, I'm not a rich Pharisee, I'm just a poor follower of Jesus. He didn't go into any of that, did he? He just looked at him and said, I'm going to give you what I have. Now, what he had was faith in the name of Jesus. He said, in the name of Jesus, walk. Did he wait for the guy to say, by faith, I believe it's true? No. He just released the power and then calls the guy by Peter's strength to rise. And then his ankle bones became strong. So whose faith healed this guy? Was it the beggars? It was faith that comes in the name of Jesus, and that was Peter's. It was faith, not that he could heal the guy. It was faith in the name of Jesus. Now, how do you get faith in the name of Jesus? Well, you've got to know him. And there is a release on the inside that causes the eyes of your heart to be enlightened, that you see him as he is. You see him enthroned. It's in here in your spirit. Then you get in the Word and you find out what backs the name of Jesus. What backs the name of Jesus? The armies of God, the angels of heaven, the old covenant and the new covenant, the life and the nature and the power of God. And that's eternal life. Eternal life is to know him, but that comes through the name of Jesus. Now let's go to Acts chapter 4. Praise the Lord. So they grab Peter and they grab the guys and they take him in and they stand before the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the priests, verse 7. They had Peter and John brought before them and they began to question them. Guys, listen very carefully. I want you to watch this with your spiritual eyes. The Pharisees and the Sadducees pose a question to them. By what power or what name did you do this? By what power? They didn't ask what kind of incantation did you do? What kind of prayer did you pray? What kind of sacrifice did you make? They asked by what power and by what name? Say name. Say the name of Jesus. And Peter goes, and in context, I want you to understand, this is the first message that he preached was Jesus of Nazareth was made both Lord and Christ, the Son of Man. the Son of Man. He's half Son of Man. He's half Son of God. He's 100% Son of Man, 100% Son of God. I don't understand it, but he is. Okay? So the man, Jesus, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, was made by God the Father, both Lord and Christ. First sermon that was preached. First sermon that was preached. Second sermon that was preached after the day of Pentecost was this one, where he says, this man was made whole by the name of Jesus. Here's the third sermon that's preached. Okay? They asked, by what power or what name do you do this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and everyone else in Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you completely healed. Now, he is the stone you builders rejected, which has become a capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Are you catching a pattern here? I remember my dad, he was kind of a crude fella, and when we'd have anybody know what a capon is? It's I guess it's a poor man's turkey. It's a rooster that has been neutered. And my dad always used to say, you know, we'd have this big old capon on Sunday, a chicken, you know, neutered. He'd say, oh, we got neutered rooster on the table. Well, you know, so there's a part in the scripture where Paul's talking about the guys who are coming in and telling people that they're not saved, and they're saying what you need to do is you need to circumcise yourself, because if you're really not circumcised, you're not going to get all the goodness out of God. You've got to come into the Jewish customs. And Paul says, I wish you'd go all the way and emasculate yourselves. And, you know, I just hear my dad saying, go ahead and neuter yourself. Well, when you take the name of Jesus out of your testimony, you neuter the gospel. You emasculate the gospel. Is that, maybe there's more involved in that, you know, with my thinking, but, you know, if you were to do that as a man, then you would not produce all the testosterone in your body that you should, and you would quickly become something not looking like a man, because your muscle mass would begin to shrink, and, you know, you may get, you may have a loss of body hair. You may get man boobs and all those kind of things because your body's producing estrogen anyway. You know what I'm talking about? And so you're created to be something, but if you were to emasculate, see, a capon gets fat because it doesn't have the testosterone running through its body. It puts on more fat and gains more weight. That's why people castrate bulls, and we call them steers, so that they'll pull on more weight, more marbling in their muscle tissue, so they have, it's a more tender piece of meat. Do you understand? And when you take the name of Jesus, I used to do that when I was a teenager. I worked on the farms, and we had this guy, he'd always wait till his calves were 200 pounds. And then he'd want to castrate them. And guess what my job was? I got to hold the hooves down. You know, you hold them hooves down, then he'd slip a rubber band around their jewels, and, you know, then the jewels don't get any blood and new tissue, and eventually they just drop off. Well, he waited till they got to be 200 pounds, but the reason that we did that is so that, and that's the way it is with most of the meat you eat, steers and heifers, and there's more estrogen going in their body, there's more fat in their muscle tissue, and so the marbling makes the meat more tender when you cook it. You following me? So you're eating something that wasn't really the way it was designed to be by God. And when you take the name of Jesus out of the gospel, you take the power, just like taking testosterone away from a man. You know, anybody ever known somebody who had too much estrogen as a man? And they walk down the street and go, something ain't right with that guy. Maybe we need to get him to the gym. You know, maybe he needs to get some testosterone supplements, something like that. You ever known anybody like that? I mean, we all have our different battles that we have to fight. And when you take the name of Jesus out of the gospel, you emasculate it. It becomes something that it wasn't designed to be. It becomes a message. It becomes a theory. It becomes a philosophy. It becomes an idea. It becomes a concept. It becomes a pattern to live by, not the transforming power of God it is intended to be. If you preach about God and you talk about God, am I being too plain? If you just talk about God and you don't put the name of Jesus in there, you might be busting up some pancake soil. You might be breaking up some hard ground, but you're not putting any seed in there. And the gospel has to have the seed which comes through the name of Jesus. Go to John chapter 17. Let's go back there, can we? And he said, Jesus said that he protected them by his name, who being in the very nature of God did not consider him, this is back in Philippians, I'm reading it to you, did not consider equality with him something to be used to his own advantage, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to cross, even death on the cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In John chapter 17, Jesus begins to pray for us. My prayer is not for them alone, in verse 20. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought into complete unity, so the world may know that you have sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Everybody say Jesus. Okay. In John chapter 17, Jesus explains that it's the name that he protected them by. He invokes that name. He gives us that name to use in Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16. In my name, they will cast out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. That name is what releases the life of Jesus that he's speaking about being in you into others. You know, the kids and I really like this show called Duck Dynasty. Has anybody ever seen it? If you haven't seen it, it's pretty fun. It's pretty clean. It's a good show. But at the end of the show, in the first three seasons, the father, Phil, in the show would always pray. And I just, you know, on the inside, I thought that was really good. But he'd say, you know, in your name I pray. I think, man, you know, he's got this huge audience all over the world. Because it's a growing show. I mean, there's just a bunch of hillbillies doing hillbilly stuff, you know. And I've been down in Louisiana. I've hunted with guys down in Louisiana. I've fished with the guys. These guys are just, that's the way they are. It's the way people are down there. And the old guy, which would be Phil's father, Phil who's the father in the duck commander business, his brother is just a little bit senile, just a little bit crazy, just a little bit off. But he got in trouble because he was out in front of a press media and they asked him about homosexuals and what he thought. And he said, the Bible says it's a sin and a man's not to marry a man. And, you know, he just quoted the Bible, said it just as plainly as could be. And there was a big hoopla trying to get him kicked off the show. It went national really quick. It went, what's that new word, viral, really quick. And they tried to get this crazy guy, Cy, off the radio because he said something about, or off the TV show, and they didn't. The Christian community and a bunch of people rallied behind them. It's the biggest show on A&E, and it's really pretty good. It's got some wholesome values. But what happened is, on the fifth season, they brought Si back. And also what happened is the father started saying, "In the name of Jesus," at the end of the show. National television, guys. And the show went from being good, because it kind of had, the oldest brother's a pastor. It went from being kind of good, because, you know, it was God-centered. It seemed like God was the focus of a lot of things. And the show always ended with a prayer to God. But man, now that they're starting to use the name of Jesus, it's awesome. Because the good life and the good things that they show them doing were kind of a witness, but now it's a testimony. And if you would watch the difference between the first couple seasons and the last, there's something that's being released over the airways. And tonight I want you to understand that I believe in the United States and in the world that we are making a correction, where we have gone so far in trying to be politically correct and causing the 1% in the world that may be of Jewish descent and the 1% or 2% that may be of the Muslim faith and the 1% or 2% that may be of the Hindu belief in the United States. And we've gone so far trying to make folks feel comfortable that we have banished the name of Jesus. And I think we're bringing that correction back. We just saw it this week in the Supreme Court. I've been noticing it on the TV. I've been noticing it on the radio. I've been feeling it in my own heart. And that's what, in the office that I stand in, I'm supposed to be a little ahead of the curve. Guys, we've got to get the name of Jesus back into our vocabulary. We can't be generic about Jesus, about God any longer. When we took the Bibles out of the schools, the church didn't rise up like we should have. And because of that, then we got all the teaching about sexuality in very young ages and about the body and functions of the body at very young ages, because we allowed the Bible to be taken out. And the result of that is, you know, we've lost thousands and thousands and thousands, if not millions, of lives in babies being aborted because to the world it's a physical procedure instead of taking a life. But correction is coming. It's going to start in the church. Now, I really believe with all my heart that there are some really nice churches that are doing a pretty good work of making people feel good, that are going to start yielding to the name of Jesus, or they're going to start shrinking. You know, when you sing and you praise, and it's one thing to praise Jehovah, to praise God our Father. Man, but when you start to glorify Jesus, it brings God glory. And when you start to use the name of Jesus in your vocabulary, in your prayers, in your life, and you stop identifying Jesus as Christ. Now, I think it's fine to say Jesus Christ, but you notice that the first four sermons didn't talk about Jesus as the Christ. They talked about Jesus, the one from Nazareth. They identified Peter by the Holy Ghost, identified the manhood of Jesus. His given name, not given by Mary and Joseph, the name that was given to him before the foundation of the world, which God shared. Now, I don't assume when we get to heaven that we're going to be crying out to God the Father and Jesus by the name of Jesus. And I don't think it's going to be Hebrew either, but it's going to have the same meaning. You have to get in Revelations to understand some of that. Right now, the name that you've been given is Jesus. The name that releases the power of heaven in your life is Jesus. The name that should be coming out of your mouth when in desperation or to certify your prayer should be the name of Jesus. And I want you to, as part of this church body, to begin to realize, how is it that I share my faith? Do I share my faith generically? Do I share my faith watered down? Do I back off because I'm afraid I might offend somebody? The same thing that you're afraid of offending somebody by is the only thing that'll save them. It's the only thing that will make the gospel come to life. The only way that you can release the same resurrection power that recreated you and brought you into forgiveness. See, we don't have a lot of instant transformations anymore in the born-again experience, and that may be because we're not using the name of Jesus to release the power of heaven to cause the transformation. I just got the plans back that were submitted to the states. If someday we could write a book about the process of getting the gables and the steeples back on this. But I saw the testimony that God gave me regarding that in the plans that were submitted to the state that I have the seven offices that Jesus operates in our life right above us in stained glass. Man, it just excited me. Jesus is the name that needs to be glorified in your life to bring glory to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. The Apostle Peter said that there's no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved. Probably the guy in the neighborhood here who's very politically involved and great guy, just sadly he's misguided, married to another guy, very successful in business, very successful in the political arena. He introduced me to his partner not too long ago. He said, this is that Jesus guy up there on the hill. And then he proceeded to tell me all the things about how we made Jesus somebody who he wasn't. And how history has been twisted and altered, you know. And I didn't know at the moment whether I should walk away and be offended. I just smiled and listened to him. And I said, that same Jesus will bring you to heaven if you let him. But you have to accept him. Now, I walked away and I was still trying to decide whether I should be upset. Should I be offended? Was he belittling me or belittling our church or belittling? And I thought, well, that's the greatest honor that we could have. They were known to a community that wants to live in a way that they want to live that's not according to the Word of God as the Jesus people. I think that's okay. If that's what is being said about us in the Wicca circles, and that if that's what's being said about us in the homosexual circles, the politically active anti-Jesus homosexual circles, now I'm telling you, that's okay. That's a good reputation. Because we need to be known as Jesus people and as Bible people, not necessarily to cause offense to anybody, but so that we can bring life to them. Amen? Everybody say Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, whether they want to or not, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess. And boy, those that don't receive him, they'll be the ones, and they'll bow, and they say, man, I should have listened to that Jesus preacher. I should have opened up my heart. But if you give a gospel other than the gospel that we've been taught, that the apostles shared with us, whose foundation was Jesus, and we're preaching something other than that, the Word of God makes it very clear that, thank you very much, the Word of God makes it clear that there can be the blood of those who didn't get correction from us and direction from us in the name of Jesus on our hands. And you're not going to suffer for that, but you will lack reward. You will lack a better position in eternity. And I'm just trying to talk plain. Say Jesus. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my coming King. He's my baptizer. He's my sanctifier. He's my healer. He is all things to me. Amen. You put that name on your lips. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for the name of Jesus. I pray that tonight, Lord, that the word that we have spoken brings about a greater revelation. Lord, I know it will, of who we serve and how we're to serve. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of Jesus. We proclaim him proudly. We wear his name on our shoulders. We wear his name on our heart. It's written even across our forehead, Lord. We don't represent a vague God. We represent you, who revealed yourself to us by your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the revelation of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, we declare this church will be full. This campus will be flooded with men, women, children, boys, girls, glorifying your name in every building that you'll give us, in every piece of land, in the Bible school, in the trade center, in the filling station, in the admin building, in the dorms, Father, your name, Jesus, will be lifted high. Jesus saves. We'll be back on this church again. Jesus saves will be proclaimed from this place again. We seal this prayer, we seal this time, and we seal this moment in eternity in the name of Jesus. And we declare, Father, that in the name of Jesus, peace is in the lives of those who are hearing this message tonight. That provision and prosperity begins to flow in a greater measure in their life. That healing comes in their life in the name of Jesus. Weakness be gone. Strength be. Pain be gone. Life to the full be. We thank you for it. Thank you for it. Jesus, Most High God. Jesus, Lord and Christ. We thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.